John chapter number 3 tonight. Yeah, we'll be by there in a minute. John chapter 3. It's good to see all of you tonight.
Amen.
John chapter 3. And let's look at something. I have dealt with this on Wednesday night. Not a full lesson on it. And there's always, it doesn't matter, you go to different churches and they tell you different things, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about, is there such a thing as eternal salvation? Once a person is saved, is he saved forever? Or is there a possibility that he possibly could lose that salvation and still go to hell? Well, let's find out what the Bible says. And look at John chapter number 3, and we'll begin looking at verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was a little confused about it. He thought, being born again, he was thinking about physically. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, what's the answer to that? No. Now, Jesus gets him back on the spiritual. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water, that's a spirit, that's a physical birth, a woman's water breaks when before a child is born. That born of the flesh, excuse me, I got jump verses there. Except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto thee, you must be born again. Now, let me ask you a question. How many times can you be physically born in the hospital or at wherever you were born? How many times can you be born by your mother?
One
time. Is it a possibility that you could go and do that ever again? Once you get into that family, you're pretty well stuck, ain't you?
Okay.
Now, let me ask you question number 2. If that's the case, and it is, then once you've been born of the Spirit, can you re-enter into the Spirit and be born again and again and again and again? It should work the same way, right? All right, now look at John 3:16. We're there in John. Look at 16, everybody. Look at 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him, have y'all done that? Believed in him? Should not perish, but have eternal life. Y'all see that? So if you believed in him, you're not going to perish. You've got eternal life. That means there's life that's eternal. Look at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, have y'all done that? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. That means life that does not end. Everlasting. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Notice, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, very simple. Eternal life is eternal life. Everlasting life is everlasting life. You say, but what if so-and-so does, have you believed on him? You got everlasting life. But what if she, you got everlasting life? That doesn't change.
Amen.
Based upon, now let me ask you this question. What did you have to do? Did you have to do good and be good before Jesus would save you? Then why does people think you have to be good and do good for him to keep you saved? Now, if you are saved, you should want to do right, live right, serve all. But how many of y'all know, everybody in here, including me, it hadn't been, I bet you everybody in here has sinned today.
Amen.
Right. Now, maybe two or three times. Now, let me ask you this. In the Bible, there is a plan of salvation. Acts 16:31, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There is a plan of salvation laid out in the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection. There is a plan of salvation. If you want to get saved, admit your sin, believe, trust Christ. Have you ever asked somebody, you believe you can lose your salvation? Yes. Okay, tell me how you lose it. Give me the plan of losing it. If there's a plan of salvation, then there has to be in the Bible spelled out a plan of losing it. Everybody that I've ever talked to, they say, oh, you believe in once saved, always saved. I said, well, what do you believe? Well, I believe you can lose it. Okay, I say, this is what I say. I say, how do you lose it? You tell a lie? Oh, no, you won't lose it by telling a lie. You have to do something worse than that. Okay, which sin do I have to do to lose it? So I'll make sure I'll write a note and make sure I won't do that. I'll do all the other ones, but I won't do that.
Amen.
Well, I mean, it has to be, you know, it has to be. Well, tell me which one it is. Because I have a verse in James 2:10. You want to turn there. In James 2:10, it says this. If we offend in one point, we're guilty of all.
Amen.
Now, if we had a chandelier hanging in the auditorium here, and there was 10 links in that thing, how many of those links have to break before the thing comes tumbling down on somebody's head? All 10? Or just
one?
So if you can lose your salvation, then all you have to do is sin once. And you've lost it.
Amen.
Now, people don't like that. They like to tell you you can lose it by doing something that they don't do.
True. Amen. That's right.
You can lose it by killing somebody, because I don't plan on doing that. You can lose it by, but you can't lose it by gospel. No. You can't lose it by gospel.
Right.
You couldn't lose it by telling a little lie. A white lie. Where is that about? A white one and a black one? What? So, if you can lose it, where in the Bible does it spell out, how do I lose it? It tells you how to get salvation, very plain. But now, where does it say you do A, B, and C, and you've lost it? Question number two. If you do lose it, how do you get it back? Now, let me ask y'all this question before we go into some other verses. When Jesus died on this cross, did he pay for all sins?
Yes.
Pa- past, present, future,
Amen.
Or just some of
them? All of them.
He paid all of them. That's why we sing the song, Jesus Paid It All. Well, then, if you can do a certain amount of sins, or nobody's ever been able to tell me what you have to do to lose it, but if you can lose it, and Jesus has already paid for sins, past, present, future, then if you've lost it, wouldn't he have to come back down here and die on the cross again for whatever sin you did to lose it?
He probably been coming down a lot.
The Bible's very plain. Now, there's no proof in the Bible that anybody, I can show you multitudes of people in that Bible, Genesis through the Acts, all the way to Revelation, of people that got saved. Paul got saved, Peter got saved, David in the Old Testament got saved, so on and so forth, all through the Bible. But there's not one example, unless y'all can show me, there's not one example of anybody. If you could lose it, don't you think God would put at least one example in the Bible to say, hey, don't be like that guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Never found it. Now, let's look at, you're in John 3, look at, let's look at 36, John 3, 36. He that believeth on the Son, have y'all done that? Hath, present tense, right now, everlasting life. Y'all see that? And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, if you believe on the Son, you have, right now, everlasting life. It's not that you will get everlasting life if you maintain and keep doing good. You have eternal life, or everlasting life, right now. Life that is everlasting. Y'all see that? Now, you're in John. We're going to stay in John for a minute. Look at chapter 5. Chapter 5. Chapter 5, and look at verse number 24. Verily, verily, Jesus is talking, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, have y'all done that? Hath, present tense, right now, everlasting life. Now watch this. And shall not come into what? But is passed from death unto life. If you believed on the Son, if you believed on Christ, you have right now everlasting life, and you cannot come into condemnation.
Right. Amen.
But what if you do? You cannot come into condemnation if you believed on the Son. But what if he... You cannot come into condemnation if you believed on the Son. But what if they... The Bible says you cannot come into condemnation, but what? You're passed from death unto life. Now, you say, what does that mean, passed from death unto life? You ever heard this phrase? They passed away. So-and-so, they passed away. What are we saying? They passed from life unto the realm of the dead. Can they come back? Once you've passed, can you, once that door, when you pass from life unto death, the door swings shut, can they come back through that door and say, yeah, I'm dead, but I'll be back for Thanksgiving. Okay, I'm dead, but I'll see you Christmas. When you're passed, your past, right?
Yeah.
The door don't swing both ways. You with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Once you're saved, pass from death unto life, you can't go back and forth. Does that make sense? Once you're passed away from death unto life. But what if You can't pass. The door won't swing both ways. You shall not come into condemnation, but you're passed from death unto life. Does everybody see that? Now, let's see. Yes. Now, look at look at chapter 6. Look at chapter 6. And here's the funny thing. And again, I'm just telling you what the Bible says, and you make your own mind up. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. It's very plain. If somebody could lose it, out of all the examples in the Bible of people that have gotten it, there should be at least one. God should have at least given us one guy that lost it and said, look, don't do what that guy just did. There's not anybody there. John chapter 6 and verse number 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me, have y'all come to him, shall never, y'all see that, never hunger. Never. Let me ask y'all something. Can God lie?
No.
Is Jesus God? Well, then if he said, I'm the bread of life, if you, what does he say, verse 35? I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Well, that means if you could lose it, then you will hunger. And he told a lie. And he can't lie. All right. Look at, let's see. He that cometh to me shall never. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Y'all see that? Y'all remember the guy, the rich man in hell? Luke 16, the rich man in hell, Lazarus. He said, can you send Lazarus over here and dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue? For I'm tormented in these flames. Why? I'm thirsty. He's thirsty because he didn't leave. But if you believe on him, you'll never thirst. But what if you'll never thirst. But what if I... You'll never thirst. What if I mess up sin? You'll never thirst. Shall not come into condemnation. I mean, this is good. Now, I know what you are thinking. Or whoever's watching this. Probably I'll get a bunch of emails on this lesson, by the way. This is what they'll say. Oh, you believe you could just live like you want to. Don't we all?
Amen.
You're at church tonight because you wanted to be. People didn't come because they didn't want to. You'll be here Sunday because you want to. Those that don't come didn't want to. We live how we want to. Do we not? We go to Walmart when we want to. If we don't feel like it, we don't. Well, you just believe you can live like you want to. Yes. But when I got saved, my want to did change a little bit.
Amen.
And if you're wanting to change it all the time, you wanting to do such and such, such and such, you may want to check up, make sure you got a good dose.
Amen.
Now, are we going to mess up and sin? Yes. Now, let's see. We got 635. Look at, let's see. Look at 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Y'all see that? Man, that's good. I will in no wise cast out. You can get kicked out of rooms that you've rented. You can get kicked out of places you shouldn't be in. You can get kicked out of a lot of places. But if you come to him, he says, I will not cast you out. Look at verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see that? Verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. All through the Bible. Everlasting life. I'll give you a thing about this. We started out the lesson just a few minutes ago with John chapter 3, talking about being born again and being born of that Spirit. And I've given these illustrations before, a few of them. But once you've been born into whatever family you've been born into, there's blood that's running through your veins. That's why when they used to work juvenile court, and on Fridays you'd have child support court, and those guys would come in there and say, no, Your Honor, that ain't my baby. And what he would say, he said, all right, we're going to do a blood test. Why? Because the blood ain't going to lie.
Amen.
So they prick the finger, whatever they do, swab their mouth, whatever. And it comes back, and it matches up who the daddy is. If you're saved, it matches up who your daddy is. Now, you say, well, all right, so you're a member of the Ballinger family, and so what if, did you always obey your dad and do everything that he said? And if he was sitting here right now, he'd be laughing. And the answer to that is what?
No.
All right? So my dad's got two choices. Kick me out of the house, go down to the courthouse, change my last name, kick me out, don't want you in the family no more. Did that happen? Or, take the belt off. Well, they don't do that anymore. Go stand in the corner. What does that do anymore? It's time to get the belts back out.
Amen.
Our country is in desperate need of some belts.
Amen.
If I disobeyed, he'd take the belt off, and there we go. And then he would say all of that stuff, you know, sitting on the edge of the bed. Hey, this is going to hurt me. Worse is going to hurt you. We've all said that stupid stuff. But he would read Hebrews chapter 12, and he would read that, and Hebrews chapter 12 says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Well, you ever thought about this? If you could lose your salvation, why does God chasten his kids? If you're just going to lose it, why chase him? Okay, boom, you lost it. No sense in whooping you. Kick you out of the family. What's the sense of whipping or chastising if you're just going to lose it? No. He disciplined. So, in your mind, you're thinking, okay, what happens if I sin after I get saved? What happens? God takes that belt off, and he whoops his kids.
Amen.
Amen. That's why sometimes you go through some of the stuff you go through. Now, if you're sitting here tonight going through something bad, that doesn't always mean God's whooping you.
Amen.
There's storms of correction. That's a whooping. And there's storms of perfection. Jonah, that was a woman. The whale, that was a woman. Why did God go to all that trouble if he just, Jonah, okay, you're out of the family. You lost it. What's the trouble of sending a fish to get him to do right? Why? He that believeth on me shall not come under condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's encouraging. And then there's storms of perfection to where the disciples, they didn't do anything wrong, but Jesus intentionally sent them out in the middle of a storm on purpose. They didn't do anything wrong, but this was perfected. So, sometimes when we go through bad stuff, it's God whooping. Sometimes when we go through bad stuff, it's God perfecting us, making us better. It'll either make you bitter or make you better. That's the purpose of the chastening hand of the Lord. Why? Because that's what parents do when they love their kids. God loves his kids, and so he disciplines them when they don't obey. Now, they do wrong. We're in John. Let's look at John 10. Look at John 10. ask a fellow one time while you're finding John 10, ask a fellow one time, I said, hey, what do you have to do to be saved? This is what he told me. It's wrong, but this is what he told me. He said, you have to believe, you have to be baptized, and all that kind of stuff. Repent, or it said, believe, repent, be baptized. I said, okay. I said, you believe I can lose it? He said, yes. I said, then what do I have to do to get it back? He said, just ask God to forgive you. I said, hang on. I lost it. Shouldn't I have to do A, B, and C again? Oh, no. You just ask God to forgive you. You don't have to do A, B, and C again. Hang on, folks. If you got to do, if you got to believe, repent, be baptized to be saved the first time, shouldn't you have to believe, repent, be baptized if you lost it and want it again? Where are people thinking? Does that not? I'll call some names here. I'm just in that mood tonight. Y'all remember Jimmy Swaggart, right? And at the time, back in the 80s, let me just say this. Let me close you. Back in the 80s, Jimmy Swaggart was probably one of the best, better TV preachers out there at the time.
Amen.
I mean, he was, I mean, there were people getting saved, this, that, and the other, whatever. He did what he did. Everybody remember all of that back in the 80s or whatever? He got up, big CNN and everything. He said, I've sinned. Now, if he's coming from a denomination that believes you can lose it, right? They believe. They teach that. They believe that. That you can lose your salvation. Well, he gets up for his congregation and says, please forgive me. All that kind of thing. But that's good. I've asked God to forgive me. I'm asking y'all to forgive me. Okay? Now, he never did come down before the church and say, I want to be saved. I need to be baptized again. And I need God to call me to preach again.
Amen.
All right.
So do they actually believe what they say they believe? If they do, they sure don't practice it. Because y'all see what I'm saying? And he's still on TV today. And hey, that's, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying the certain, what they say they believe. For him to get saved, he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, was saved. He was probably baptized, I'm sure. They believe that. And then later on in life, called to preach. What if he lost that? Then don't you have to start over and do it all again? Wouldn't you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ again, get baptized again, and then wait for the Lord to call you to preach again? Then why did it go that way? Because I don't think they have a Bible for what they say they believe. All right, look at John 10. Where were we? John 10. I didn't write the verse down on this one. Yeah, you won't believe this. Well, I ain't going to tell you what I did. I couldn't find my notes. So I scribbled this down on a piece of mail that I got. And there they are. So I tried to remember everything. Anyway, I scribbled everything down. John chapter 10. Look at verse. I'm looking. All right, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never what? They shall never perish. They're not going to. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Y'all see that? Now, and then what some people will say is, well, yeah, they can't pluck you out of him, but you can jump out of his hand. Y'all heard that? Well, You see the word pluck. I don't know if y'all have ever plucked a chicken or not. But you just can't pick a chicken up and go, and the feathers fall off. Those feathers are a part of that chicken. Are a living part stuck into that chicken. So if you're going to kill that chicken and eat that chicken, you have to pluck those feathers and intentionally pull that away from that chicken. He says, no man is going to be able to pluck you. You can jump it. You can't jump. You're a part of his hand.
Amen.
You're stuck. You can't pluck yourself out of that. But what if you can't pluck? No man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. Is that not good?
Amen.
I see verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man. Matter of fact, he repeated himself. Some people told me, so you should repeat yourself. Well, Jesus repeated himself. Why? Because it's important. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Everybody see that? Now, let me give you some more verses. We're all in John here, trying to make it easy. Now let's look at, keep going to the right, go to Romans. I preached on this one not too long ago. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 38. Romans 8, 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Y'all see that? Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a blessing. Let's look at I tell you what, let's look at, let's see what comes first. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to give you just several verses. This will be on the internet, by the way. If you miss something, you can always go back and listen to it again. I want to get all these verses in because there's a bunch. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse number 13. In whom you also trusted. When did you trust? After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And whom also, after that ye believed, after you were saved, after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Y'all see that? Sealed. Now let me read one other verse and I'll talk about that sealing for a second. Look at chapter 4. 4 and verse 30. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed. Till when? Till the day of redemption. Y'all know what the day of redemption is? The day of redemption is when we are redeemed from this earth called the rapture. I'm saved until then. I'm sealed until then. The day of redemption. Now, let me give it to you this way. This is all I can find. It's old keychain, I guess. And that's you. You get saved. The Bible says you're put in Christ. You're placed in Christ. And then I'm sealed. I don't know if y'all, I know some of you do some canning. And you can pear preserves and green beans or whatever you can. You put them in those mason fruit jars. You know what I'm talking about? And the mason fruit jar's got that little metal lid that goes on there. And then you screw a top down on that thing. And I remember grandparents, man, you go out in the shed and there's canned stuff out there. It's got spider webs. moth, dirt diaper things hanging off of them. You know what she does? Hey, ain't no telling how long they've been out there. Gets them off, wash them off, pops that lid, it makes that sound. And it's just as good as the day they put in there. Stay in your seat, don't get excited. Put me in there, sealed me. As you feel like you're upside down, guess what? You're still in. You messed up, you tripped and fell, guess what? You're still in. You can't get out. If you get out, he ain't much of a God.
Amen.
And this is what he said. I'm sealed until when? The day of redemption, the rapture. You know what's going to happen at the rapture? He's going to unscrew the lid, pop that seal, and guess what? Rapture. Coming out. I was hoping that screw up was. Pop that seal. There you go.
Amen.
You know what that Bible says? That Bible says, there's me, 10-year-old boy. I look back to the cross, see what Jesus did for me.
Amen.
And he placed me in Christ. Put me in Christ. There I am. Put me up there in Christ. You know where Christ is? Hid in God.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. Hid in God. matter of fact, Colossians 3:3 is where that's at. You're in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians 3:3. I'm going to read it to you real quick. Don't you? 3:3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You know, listen, you know what the devil's going to have to do if he wants to get you? He's got to go through the blood. He's got to go through God and get into Jesus before he gets to you. And if he ever gets that far, he'll be a saved devil.
That's right.
Because he'll do the same. He'll have to do the same thing you did to get in.
Right.
Amen. Now, we looked at Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 4:30. Let me look at Jude. Right before Revelation, or Jude's only one chapter. Let me read this one right here. There's so many more. Jude 1, no, only one chapter, verse 24. Jude 1:24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Y'all see that? Ain't that something? Y'all see this stand right here? This is me. That stand. You say, what about us? What about when you fall after you get saved and you fall? Well, there's somebody under you that's going to keep you from falling so far you lose your salvation.
Amen.
And there's somebody under you. Unto him that is able to keep you. There's somebody between you and hell. Right down there is hell. There's somebody keeping me from falling. Heck, that's something. Hallelujah, Steve. Now, you say, well, what if so-and-so does so, you know, what if you do this, or what if somebody done that, or I know somebody did this, or that did that. Did you know in the Old Testament, y'all know the story, I ain't got time to tell you about it tonight, y'all know the story of Samson? Do y'all realize what all Samson did? Samson was a mess.
Amen.
Samson was a mess. If anybody could lose it, Samson or lost his. And did you know in Hebrews chapter number 11, Samson is mentioned in the hall of faith in heaven? Isn't that something? Y'all realize what all King David did in the Old Testament? God says King David is still the apple of my eye. Now, when you listen to this, I don't want you to get the impression that Brother Jeremy says is promoting us to do wrong. Mm-mm. We ought to want to do right. We ought to want to do right. But I'm telling you this, when we do fall, we have somebody there to catch us and to keep us from falling. I want you to look at Matthew, and I'm going to, because here's one verse where they go. Matthew 24, and we'll close her down. Man, I had a bunch of other verses. If you want some of these other verses, I'll give them to you. But this is all through the Bible. All through the Bible. Matthew 24 and verse 13. Now here's a verse that people will use on you that says that believe you can lose it. And they'll use this verse on you, Matthew 24:13. You see it? But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. See there? You got to endure to the end. And if you don't endure to the end, you won't be saved. See there? It proves you can lose it. But it all depends on what we're talking about. You have to rightly divide the Bible. I want you to look at just right there in Matthew 24. Let me find it really quick. That was in verse 13, right? Look at verse 29. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Y'all see that? Immediately after the tribulation. So if 29 and 30 and 31 is fixed to start talking about after the tribulation, what's all the verses before 29? Let me get it drawn out up here first. All right, we got the second coming right here. And we had all the 7-year tribulation right here. And this is the second coming of Christ. All right, look at verse 29 again. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. What's after the tribulation of those days? Second coming, watch. The sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. That's the second coming, on a white horse. And all the tribes mourn, the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's what we're talking about right there. That's verse 29. All right? What's before 29? If 29 is immediately after tribulation, what's 28, 27, 26, 25? What's verse 13? During the tribulation. Y'all see that? What does that verse mean then? If you're not saved and you don't go up right here, you will have to endure.
Amen.
During the tribulation. You've got to read where we're at. Don't put verse 13 over here in the church. That don't belong to you. That ain't your mate.
Right.
That belongs to those people in tribulation. And they have to endure to the end to be saved.
That's right, man.
Okay. That's only one of the verses that I have time to deal with about that. If you can lose it, there ought to be a plan laid out of losing it. Because there's a plan of getting it. Very plainly spelled out. There ought to be a plan of losing. Y'all remember the story of the prodigal son? A lot of people go to the story of the prodigal son. Luke 15 is where that's found. In Luke 15, the prodigal son went to his dad, asked his dad for, give me everything I'm supposed to have. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. I'm tired of being at this house. I'm tired of going to church every Sunday. I'm tired of you and mom telling me what to do. I'm leaving. He goes out into the far country, away from home. He spends all of his money, winds up in the hog pen. Let me ask y'all a question. Is he in disobedience to his dad?
Yes.
At any time, did he cease being that man's son?
No.
In the hog pen, he's still that man's son. Even he's doing bad. Y'all do realize he's doing bad.
Yeah.
Y'all do realize he's not doing what he's supposed to do. And he's still that man's son. You can't change it. You can't get out. I've never heard one person say, I wish I never got saved. You know, I've heard people say, well, yeah, you give it back. The Lord give you salvation, you give it back. Show me one person that ever tried to give salvation back to the Lord.
Amen.
Anyway. If I had enough verses, but if you can lose it, then Jesus will have to come back and do this all over again for you to get it back. So think about this. If you can lose it and you lose yours, guess what? You can't get it back. Because he's not coming back down again to die again. So either that was enough, or you're still saved. You say, what do we do if we do sin? You know what you do? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.